Quick producer's note. This podcast was recorded before the action in Baltimore, Maryland in week 8.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
Hello and welcome back to the PLL Happy Hour podcast alongside IL's Chris Rosenthal. I'm Kevin Brown, and Chris, we got quite the guest on tonight's podcast in reigning MVP, Trevor Baptiste. Chris, Trevor, how are we doing?
Good. Excited to be on. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, man. Thanks for joining us.
We're here to talk about the new shot clock rules and how it impacts the face-off position with one who would know best and you, Trevor. Trevor, let's just start there. Just, what's the adjustment been like for you this season individually and then obviously for your Atlas group?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's definitely been an adjustment, the whole shot clock. I think it's kind of had some ripple effects on the game for sure. And, you know, I think when it comes to like our team specifically in the Atlas, I think that, you know, we, you know, we're 2-4 right now. I think like we would all help to be in a better situation record wise, but you know, our best ball is ahead of us. And I think we just got to keep playing hard. I think that with the shortened amount of time, it really changes how you play the game. And I think there was definitely an adjustment period, especially when we do have a strength in the face-off game and getting possession. It just looks a little bit different. So I think we're like figuring that out. And I think we've also taken a lot of steps forward in figuring out a little bit more.
You mentioned kind of, you know, working to figure things out. And, you know, we've seen all around the league people trying different strategies, you know, kind of tinkering with their lineups, what to do, what not to do to kind of most take advantage of that, you know, shortened time clock. And, you know, kind of one of the, I guess it's almost kind of popular now sort of sentiments is, you know, well, we're not even going to send out a faceoff guy, you know, we're going to have our, you know, our pole or one of our best D mids going against a faceoff specialist like yourself. Having seen that recently, how does it affect your game? Is there anything you change up specifically? And when you heard about that strategy and knew it was coming your way, how did you feel about it? Like, were you excited to take that on? Did it sound like it was going to be awesome to not go against a face-off guy, or how did you interpret it?
Yeah, so I think, like, just starting off, like, my strategy definitely changes, you know, like, you're going against somebody who isn't versed in that part of the game, and you got to think, whenever building your strategy, you got to think about what the other team's strategy is. So their strategy is try not to let you go forward, you know, that's, like, number one, don't get beat forward, and you know, essentially it's like a squeezing game of the clock, right? So they're like, try to get them to go backwards, throw back to the goalie, and then we'll ride. And then hopefully they only play offense for 10 to 15 to 18 seconds, you know? So they're trying to get the clock on their side. So how that changes for my strategy is like, you know, one, you know, I can't try to go forward every time because that's way too predictable. And that's the number one thing that they're trying to stop. And then also, like, you know, trying to get the ball up the field as quickly as possible. And trying to, like, either sub quickly or, you know, make plays quickly and efficiently. So almost like playing faster, but not necessarily rushed, you know? So that's kind of like what I've been looking at in my game. And, you know, my personal opinion of having a pole go again to go against a pole or somebody who's not really a face-off guy, it's definitely a letdown for me. I think that I definitely pride myself on going against the best, playing with and against the best guys in every single position on the field. And I think that it hasn't turned into that now. So I think that just the competitor inside of me, you know, like, I want to go against the best. I want to, like, go head to head against somebody who's really good, you know, and I want it to be a battle. And then you could really measure yourself and either reward or see where you have to improve. And now that that isn't really happening, it just the competitor inside of me is upset for sure. For sure.
It's super telling. Gregor Onlyan had a tweet about last week, quote tweeting a quote from you actually, when you're kind of explaining that same sentiment about, yeah, it's just different when you're not playing the best in the world at the faceoff position. And Greg says four guys will probably beat my single season faceoff percent winning percentage record this year, and the other four teams will probably be less than 10% as a whole in the season, which is crazy. Just the disparity between those who are kind of just, and there's a lot of context to go with each club's decision, right? Like the Water Dogs haven't really found their guy with Jake Withers has been out doing other things too off the field. So there's a lot of nuance to approach it, but Trevor, I gotta know, like coming off a the NFL reports where all the running backs were meeting up in the off season to talk about contracts and everything, has there been anything in the same realm about talking to your fellow counterparts at the face-off position?
Yeah, absolutely. I think as face-off men, we have a lot of mutual respect for each other, and I think we communicate. It's kind of funny. It's like for a position that's so head-to-head and so physical, it seems like we all have that respect for each other. Like we do try to, beat each other up on the field, but there is a lot of respect for what not only each other but what we do, like it's not easy in any retrospect. And the other thing with face-offs is there is no hiding. Like you can't, if you're a face-off guy on the team, especially at the pro level where there's only where traditionally you only dress one, if you're getting beat, like you can't just be like, oh, okay, hey, I'll cut my shifts down, or oh, I'll just pass, I'll just be a swing guy, or or like, I'll just finish off ball today, or I'm not dodging, like it's like I just don't have it today. Like there is none of that. I think there's a lot of respect between us, and I think that's not talked about enough in the position. So I think, yeah, to answer your question, like yeah, like we definitely have been talking, and we've and we all share our sentiments about it. And yeah, I think the majority of the guys feel similarly that I do, and that's just across the board. That whether you're the top guy in the league or not the top guy in the league, whether you're used to going 70% a season or 30% a season, if you're playing at this level, you pride yourself on going against the best. Yeah, I wish that it would continue that way.
Coming off a season where you win the MVP, did you feel kind of just your position get like devalued this offseason?
Yeah, like I would say, just looking at the situation in general, yeah, like the face-off means less. Like 100%, like yes, it does. So just looking at that, for what it is, yeah, like that's devaluing something for sure. How that makes me feel personally, I think that I do bring a lot to whatever team I'm on in a lot of other areas besides winning the face off. So, does that make me necessarily feel devalued? I wouldn't say that. There's like I'm still hungry to be better. I'm still trying to play my best game every time I'm out there. And I still think that I bring value for sure. But if you look at generally speaking, the face off per se, yeah, it's definitely the best value for sure.
You were talking about face-off guys kind of refining their skills, kind of adding to their skill sets and things like that. At this stage in your career, is there something you feel like, man, I should be better at this? Or like, is there something you're still finding really working on in your game?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think like stuff that's really been sticking out to me is I think making great feeds rather than passing. Like I think I'm a solid passer, but I think like making passes, really tight passes under pressure and to guys that are under pressure, I think that's something that I can continue to get better at. And also like I would say like in terms of shooting, I've been like solid, but like I think like now with this rule set, like I can increase my accuracy in shooting. As a face-off guy, like you look at the game, and this is what I always tell anybody who's a face-off guy who's shooting, like the worst thing that could happen when you shoot the ball as a face-off guy is you get saved. Missing the net really isn't that bad because usually it's really early in the possession, you have a lot of time, usually under traditional rule sets, right? You get the ball back and then you could even maybe sub and get into something. The ball's at X, like it's actually sometimes it's better than passing it all the way around. Exactly. So, and I'm not saying like shoot to miss, but I'm saying like stick a shot. You're like, it's either going in or you're missing, So I think now like it opens up a point that I can be a little bit more tactful there, like, sticking those shots, shooting a little bit better shots rather than being okay with misses. And I think a lot of that too is just like taking shots in higher pressure situations, like just simply having a pole on you, it's a lot harder to shoot. Having a pole chasing you, it's a lot harder to shoot. Having to run the field rather than winning the ball out forward and shooting when everyone's at your back rather than everybody being in front of you is a little bit different. So, I would say those are some things I'm looking at. And I think with everything, I'm just the type of person that I just feel like I can get better at most things. Like there's always room for improvement,
So I asked you about Grenlian's tweet. I want to ask you about a guy who I think you played with. He was probably a freshman, Jack Hanna. Was he at Denver when was that your senior year? So he tweeted out a lot of people talking about the face-off rule as if it's an attack on the face-off position. Should view it as an incentive for face-off guys to improve position and develop new talents outside clamping. In my opinion, hot seat Jack Hanna or hot seat face off man, what are we ruling with?
Oh, that's a very hard line in the sand. I think, at first, Jack Hanna is my boy. Like obviously we played at Denver and he still lives out in Denver. We work out together like almost every day when we're both in town. I just want to give him a quick shout out. Like he's been it's been really great, like working out with him and just getting to know him even more after school. He works hard. He works hard, man. And like I think I'm putting everybody on notice. I think, he's gonna be. He is really good, but he's gonna be. He's good. He's gonna be a star. He's gonna be a star. He's locked in. He's locked in. But I digress. Hot seat Jack, hot seat face off guys. I think it's a mixture of both, to tell you the truth. Like I'm not gonna say like Jack's 100% right, and I'm also not gonna say he's 100% wrong either, So yeah, like do I think that face off guys need to continue to develop their stick skills in other areas of the game? Yes, 100%. And do I think that's already happening? Yes. Do I think the game was going that way? Absolutely. I think when you look at face-off guys that don't handle the ball well, it's a liability for your team. No matter which way you shake it, they might win a ton of face-offs, but if they're not getting the ball to their offense, then those face-offs don't mean anything. It's funny, I literally just told a bunch of kids this at camp this week. So like they need to keep you need to keep like working on your skills 100%. Now, do I think that's apples to apples in this 32 second shot clock? No, I don't think it's apples to apples. Reason being, I think to say to change a rule set it with this amount of duration of the season and without any like leeway for guys to really train those things, I don't think that that's necessarily fair, you know. I also don't think that it's the same as being an offensive guy. So for example, if you took all the offensive guys in the league and had them start with the ball in their stick, let's just say with the ball in their stick, like forget about doing the face off, picking it up, forget about all that stuff, which is something in itself, but like I'll just like leave that part out. Now imagine they put a long pole on them. You know, there's two guys on every offense that don't even get a long pole on them. And he starts right in front of you and you're holding the ball on the stick and they lock off everybody and they say, "Hey, go make a play." I'm willing to bet there will be offensive professional lacrosse players that will turn the ball over. You know, like are turnovers going to happen? Yes. So like do I think it's that sliding scale? It's like, oh, like they're giving you the ball, like go make a play. You know, I think it's a little bit harder to say, or I don't think it's fair to say, like, oh, you can't do it because you're a face-off guy. Like, I think you're also in a really hard position that people have to respect as well. And speaking of that, you have to go the whole field, somebody's drawing you backwards, you know, they're locking everybody else off. And another thing with that tactic is, the other team has their defensive personnel on the field. So it's not like you're facing off against offensive guys or even like not having five poles on the field. Like they have their defensive unit on the field. So to say like, hey, like you should convert on that every time is like saying every time you get the ball on offense, you should score, you know? Like it's not, that's just not realistic, you know? So like I think like he makes a fair point for sure, but like I think if you look deeper into it, like there's definitely it there's definitely stuff going on both sides for sure.
Going back to your last answer real quick, just I really appreciate the context there. Like there's a lot of offensive guys who have struggled with this new rule set. 32 seconds, which is usually boiled down to 15, 14 second shot clocks. It's a hurried offense and it's pretty hard to score on like these elite defenses to begin with. So you take time away, it's going to be even tougher, but so pointing that out is important context. I heard from a leak source that another proposal would have been just to allow like one sub only off the face off, and then kind of like we were concerned with, or they were concerned with rather, how do you kind of enforce that, and what are the ramifications of that and everything? If you were to propose a kind of a counter rule, if this w were to be a kind of a 1 year trial and it's, let's say, failed error, what would you kind of ideally want as kind of a middle ground next year?
You know, I think there's a lot of, I think it's interesting. Like, I think that, I don't think it was really bad the way it was before, to be honest. Like, I think everything was fine. Like, that's one take of mine. I think the 52 is great. I think the 52 is
You
great.
can
Like,
play
I
the
think
Uno
it's
card.
great. I really, and like, and I'll take a second to really like, shout out because you know like I know how this is how you know we're talking about this stuff and however it looks like I do want to take a second and shout out that like what the PLL has done to this point in the game of lacrosse is unbelievable. Like the product on the field is phenomenal and all that happens through innovation, right? Like shortening the field, that was a great add. The 2-point arc being at 13, great add, or 14, is it 15? It's 15. Being at 15 is like great. I think in the MLL, being in the MLL, it was 16, you know. Yeah, 1 yard made a big difference. Bringing the wing lines in a little bit closer made a huge difference. The lineup of the face off like made a huge difference in the speed of how you get the face off. Like they've hit so many great changes, and they continue to do that. And they're always looking at how to make the game better, which I'm extremely appreciative for. And I want to like make sure I say that. And I think with that, you try to make a lot of changes and you try to make things as best as they possibly can. And sometimes you're not going to bat 100%. Sometimes you're not going to bat 100%. And you could say like whatever you want to say about the rules, maybe it's that, maybe it's not. But they tried something and they're bold and they're not afraid to make big moves, which I think is great. But now back to the actual question. I would say, I think 32 seconds is a little bit too quick. I also think like just the addition of that clock is a lot. I think like it makes sense off resets. That was another great rule that they changed, resets being 32. That's great. Now I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to make the amount of time between offense, goal scored, and then attacking the net again. They're trying to shorten that time. Totally get it, So like to me, like maybe it's having a short stick take the face off, Maybe it's like put no poles on the face off. I don't know. But then you gotta question the enforcement of that, No matter how you shake it, it's gonna get a little weird. But I think one sub is kind of cool too, keeping the guys on the field. I think that's cool too. But I just think that it should be an equal amount of time. And I also think that if you get the face off, like you should be rewarded for that, Like it's not easy to win the ball. Like, it's not like, oh, like who starts with the ball? It's like you have to go get it. And like if you get it, you should get an advantage for getting it because you got it.
This is what is one of your best redeeming qualities. You see the positives in things, Trevor, but it is important to point out, and you mentioned this, the timing was perhaps a little bit of unfair on some of the face-off specialists in terms of when it was implemented and not being able to train fully for it this season. But just gotta point that quick caveat out. And but yeah, totally a lot of good coming from new PLL rules and everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, so like I don't know, and like and you know like even sitting here talking and not being able to come up with something like right off the bat just shows how hard it is and like their jobs aren't easy. So I'm not gonna, be like, oh, you should. I think a lot of people are very quick to be like, oh, you're doing this wrong. Oh, you're doing that wrong. Oh, like you missed it on this. Like this is so bad. And when you really look at it, like the amount of good, like heavily outweighs anything bad that they've done, heavily, immensely. So it's like let's all like take a deep breath, and it is what it is at this point, but like.
And yeah, just Chris, I'll let you go. And you pointed out just it, so for listeners that don't know when these rules were implemented, it was after the draft and the kind of the free agency player movement period. So it was our point there. But yeah, I'll yield to Chris for next question.
Now you've got a great deal of experience, carrying the ball, after you pick it up, especially, all the box years you've done and all that with the Wings. Is interpreting or kind of converting, your indoor skill, do you find that it's helped you making this transition with the shorter clock? And also, like, strategy-wise, is that all your call? Does, like, you kind of get together with the Wings or the coaches ahead of time saying, listen, the shortened clock, maybe Trevor, don't call your own number at first? Or is it all kind of, based on you, whatever you see at the time?
I think that with the shorter clock, it's actually, it's funny. Like, I think with our team, and I can't speak to every single team and their personnel, but I think with our team, it's been a little bit less of playing free with the 32-second shot clock because there's not enough time to get on the same page. So, what I mean by that is, previously in previous years, like 52-second shot clock, you win the face off, you carry it down, you're going against a faceoff guy, like you could play for like 10 to 15 seconds and like see if you can get something, you know, like kind of just like, you know, playing the pick game, playing the subbing game, you know, maybe even dodge, you know, draw a guy and just kind of see what's going on. Now with that shorter shot clock and with that writing technique and that conceding technique, it kind of shortens the clock. So it shortens that amount of time that you can really get that going. And you know, a lot of that type of play is high risk, high reward, you know? So usually, you know, you play fast like that and you try to make something happen and you get something that's great, you know, you usually score off of it, you know, or something like that. And if you don't, you know, you can pull the ball out and then get your offensive personnel on and then run a little bit of offense, you know? So it's very efficient in that way. Now you can't really do both, you know, it's either one or the other. Just with the amount of time in one possession, you know? So I think that we've done a better job of having more of a plan. I think in the beginning of the season, we kind of like, we're just, hey, like, let's play 5v5, or hey, like, let's do a little mumbo action or pick action and just kind of see what happens out of that. And just everybody wasn't on the same page. So we weren't getting great lacrosse out of all six guys on the field, rather than it just being one person or two people working at a time. And you can get away with that, but over the length of a game, you're not going to have a lot of success, you know?
We're coming into a season where we're closing in on city-based model going to next season. The PLL will still tour, but there will be cities assigned to each individual club. Trevor, where are the Atlas going? Where do you want the Bulls to go and play out of in the 2024 season?
Where do I know where we're going? I have no idea. There's definitely a few places that I would enjoy. Dallas, I could get down with Dallas. Denver, obviously, obvious reasons. California would be cool. California would be great. You know, I wouldn't say I'm like necessarily biased to any, or I shouldn't say biased, but not that I necessarily would be upset with any option, you know. I think it's great that they're going in that direction. So I'm all for it. But, you know, California, not a bad place to be. Dallas, not a bad place to be. Denver, I am there, so it's a solid place to be. So that's more what I'm kind of looking at there, you know. That's more I'm looking at.
Yeah, that might be the better question. What, where do you definitely want to rule out playing? So that we can play this clip back when the Atlas do, in fact, play at the city that you're about to name.
Yeah, that's right. Was there a city that wasn't on the list? I don't know, like middle of nowhere, like I don't even know where middle of nowhere is. Like just a place that not a lot's going on. Wherever that is, I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. You know, I don't need that. That's all I'm saying on that point. That's all I'm saying on that.
I kept it very uncontroversial there, so
I'm good at that sometimes. Yeah.
but just to wrap up here, Trevor, we really appreciate you coming on here for the PLL Happy Hour podcast. Thanks again, and we'll see how this face-off rule set develops, but always appreciate hearing your perspective on things for sure.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.